All right. Good morning, church. Good morning. The topic I'm going to talk about this morning, it goes from the Old Testament. You can read about it in the Old Testament. You can read about it in the Gospels. You can read about it in Paul's writings. And also you can read about it especially in the book of Revelations. But I'm going to be talking about the last days a little bit here this morning, if the Lord allows me. It's something that he's impressed upon me to do. So I want you to bear with me. I'm going to be in Matthew, the 24th chapter, if you want to turn there. Matthew 24, and I'm going to read one verse. And would you find it there, please? If you're able this morning, let's stand in honor of God's word this morning. Matthew 24:15. 24:15. And it says this, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." And I want to hit on that just a little bit, but this, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." Let us pray, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart for you, Lord. I want to give you the praise that you so rightly deserve, Lord. I give you the honor, Lord, that you're the one that deserves it all, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open my lips this morning. And, Father, that you would give me the anointing, Lord. And, the Father, that hearts would be receptive, Lord, to the message. And, Father, we will praise you for everything that you do and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If any of you have a red letter edition Bible, what I just read to you, these words are spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you also notice it doesn't say that the hearer understand. What it says there, it says, "Whosoever readeth, let him understand." That's what it says. Why? Because whenever Jesus prophesied this and whenever they wrote it down, they understood it wasn't just for the disciples at this time. It was for you and me today, and it's for us to understand. It's for every born-again Christian to understand what Jesus is trying to say here. And his words to disciple, Jesus is telling them what will take place in the future. This is what he's telling them. And it applies to us today that we should understand that as well. And if you study this out a little bit farther, the thing that amazed me this week whenever I was reading and studying about this, we find Jesus giving these words to his disciples. This is over in three different places. In Luke, it's found in Mark, and it's also found in Matthew that I read today. But you find him giving these instructions, a prophecy, on them on the Wednesday before he was crucified. That's whenever he did this. On the day when all the so-called leaders of the church, all the people, they have finally decided that he is not the Messiah. That's what they're saying. And when they determined that he's not God, or he's not from God, or he's not the Messiah, right after Jesus does it, he goes out. And if you look in Luke chapter 21, we find in verses 4, this is what they did after they decided that he was not the Messiah and that he was not the one. I'm going to read that to you. It's in Luke 22. It says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how that they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains that he might betray him unto them." So it was at this highest point, at this point, like I said on a Wednesday, of their rejection of Jesus Christ, he walks out of the temple, he takes the 12 disciples with him, he sits down on the Mount of Olives, and he gives them a prophecy about the future. Isn't it ironic? The one that they rejected, the one that they said was not God, the one that they said was not the Messiah, was the only one who could give this prophecy that he was God incarnate, the only one who could give this prophecy about the future. As a matter of fact, he describes the future in such a great, sweeping fashion that it covers all the remaining history of humankind. If you go back and read in Luke 21, he's describing everything from humankind from the time that he said this until the time that he comes back again to set up his kingdom, up to the point to where he will return for his second coming. Now, let me explain something to you this morning. The second coming of Jesus is not the rapture. You do know that this morning. The rapture is going to come. That's the next event for the Christians. That's what I believe. I believe that the rapture will come before the great tribulation. But Jesus' second coming, when he sets up his kingdom on this earth, will happen at the end of the great tribulation period. And I want to talk about the last days today. What I want to talk about is the time from when Jesus ascended into heaven until he comes back to set up his kingdom again, which will be right after the great tribulation. So the one who they determined is not God, not from God, and they even accused Jesus of being from Satan, one of Satan's crew. They even accused him of that. It's not only the one who created the world, but will be the one who will have its final conclusion to this world. And what Jesus lays out about the future, I want everyone in here to understand, is horrendous. It is terrible. And, you know, according to Jesus, what God has laid out for this world and its inhabitants is very tragic. It's much worse than any environmentalist can ever conceive. I want you to understand that. No matter what they say out here in this world, it's 10 times worse than what they could ever conceive. It's much worse than any scientist could ever come up with. It's much worse than any educator, any politician, or any religious leader could ever imagine. I cannot do the scale of what I'm trying to talk about here this morning and probably do it justice. It is going to be that bad. Whenever, before Jesus comes down here to set up his kingdom on this earth, it will be that bad. Can I say this? No movie that's ever been made will ever capture what's going to happen at the end time. No movie. Why? Because we are not heading towards some human-engineered utopia. We're not heading towards that, as some may want you to think. We're not heading to an age of peace and tranquility right now. We all know that it's hard living in this world today. We had prayer requests here earlier this morning. How many people we've talked about in this church that's had cancer? How many people, or know somebody that's had cancer? How many people we know have had diseases? How many people that we know have had tragedy in their lives out here? This world we live in is a hard world to live in. Amen? It is. There's diseases, there's natural disasters, there's wars, there's famines, and all of that is part of today's life. Would you agree with me? You can't turn on the news till you hear and see these things, because throughout human history, there has been a battle. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin cursed this world, and it cursed the place mankind lives upon, and upon creation, it has cursed it. And we are living under that curse, and we will live under that curse. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross that you and I can be saved, but all of mankind is still under that curse. And they will be under that curse until Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. Jesus said, because of this curse, he said, I'll die, and he said, I will pay the price that was required for this curse to be covered and for this sin to be done. And when I'm going away, I'm coming back again, but before I come back, he's telling us that it will get worse. Not only very worse, but very, very worse before he comes back. And I want us to understand that. He said it would be like childbirth. I know a lot of you in here have experienced childbirth, probably so in your life. And Jesus said that in Mark 13:8. And I'll read it to you. It said this: for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. If you want to know what the beginning of sorrows is, he's talking about childbirth here. So what happens when you're in childbirth? It's birth pains is what it is. The birth of a child is the perfect illustration of what the end times look at. Now, I told you the end times are whenever Jesus ascended into heaven until he comes back to set up his kingdom on this earth. It says this, the birth of a child is that. We all know up until the time that a child is born, the woman will experience pain. It starts out maybe lightly, and it gets increasingly harder the closer she comes to giving birth. That's something that's very simple to understand. It also gets closer whenever we're talking about these pains of the tribulation. They get harder and harder and harder until Jesus comes back. If we take a closer look at the tribulation period in the book of Revelations, we see this laid out perfectly there. In Revelation chapter 5 and 8, I'm just going to read a couple of chapters from this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. And then I want to give you a quick synopsis of what it's saying. In Revelation 5:1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now I want to explain to you a little bit. It says here, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Whenever they're talking about sitting at the right hand of the throne, we're talking about God here. And what's going on, God is holding the seal. He's holding a scroll in his hands. That's what the book is. And it tells us in this, it's sealed with seven seals, and it's written on both sides of the pages. Now, let me explain to you a little bit. I know I'm getting into a lot of stuff here, but I want to explain something to you about this scroll. It's rolled up, it's sealed. Another roll is put on it, it's sealed. And that is done seven times. That's how that is done, and it's written on both sides. And God is holding it in his hands. And John looks at this, and the angel said, who is worthy to take this and unseal this seal? Who's worthy to take this book and do it? Well, if you read on down in it a little farther, there's only one that's worthy to do that. And it says in Revelation 5:5, because John is weeping, it says, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose it, the seven seals. Therefore, we find a scroll that's rolled like that seven times. That they would seal. You know what that symbolized in that day? What happened was, that was how that they did a will. That's how they did the deed of trust in that day, Belinda. And you know what? God is holding that deed of trust to the earth. And there's only one person who is able to grab that and claim that deed of trust. And that is Jesus Christ. And he goes down and Jesus grabs that scroll. And you know what he's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to unleash all hell upon this earth so he can claim back the deed of this earth from Satan himself. And that is what's getting ready to happen. And doing, he will take back the earth. This is the birth pains. This is the example of what happens. This is the world in which we live in. Every time he breaks a seal on that scroll, another judgment is released upon the earth. And each one is worse than the first one. When he gets to the seventh seal, when he opens that seventh seal on that scroll, there is seven trumpets that sound. Each one of them are judgments that God is going to pour out upon this earth. When he gets to the seventh trumpet that sounds, there are seven bowls of wrath that are poured out. Now let me explain to you what's going to happen. This is over a seven-year period is when this happens. That's what's called the tribulation period. The last 3.5 years of it's called the Great Tribulation. Whenever he starts breaking those seals, it's 7 years of those seals being broken. It's months of the trumpet sounding, and it's days and hours. That's how it's like birth pain, because each one is worse than the other. And the closer it gets to Jesus coming back to set up his kingdom, it will be worse and worse and worse. Now, we are living in hard times right now, and it is bad out there. You can tell we have earthquakes, we have famines, we have disease that is rampant today. And brothers and sisters, that is like child's play to what's coming upon this earth one day. Why do I say that? Because I believe as Christians we will be out of this world. And you say, Dave, what are you preaching that to? Because I want you to know. I want anybody to know this. I don't know if you're saved here this morning. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand with Jesus. But can I tell you, today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed that we will stand another day. We're not guaranteed we will get home today. But today is the day of salvation. And I'm telling you, today is the day we need to accept Jesus Christ into our heart. Luke 21:27, it says that it'll end, those bowls of judgment will end like this. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Praise His name this morning. I'm telling you, yes, we are living in hard times. We are living in the last days. I'm telling you, the rapture could happen any moment. The Bible tells us, how do you know whenever this is going to take place? Because whenever you see Jerusalem surrounded by the enemies, whenever you see the desolation of abomination that they talked about in Daniel, you'll know that they're to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, can I tell you this morning, praise God, I hope you're not here whenever the tribulation starts. I hope and pray that you are not here. We see things getting worse now, but it is nothing like it's going to be. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:33, when you see these things start, when you see these things start getting worse, He said, it is even, where is it at? At the door. It is even at the door. We are close. No, I'm not standing up here and tell you it's going to be a certain time and a certain hour. I don't know that. But I do know that Jesus is coming back to get His church. Number one, we see wickedness will be expressed openly and without restraint. We live in a day and age where wickedness is expressed openly and without restraint. After the rapture, why? Will it get worse? After the rapture, the Holy Spirit that restrains evil in this world, well, you know what's going to happen? It's going to step aside and it's going to let evil run rampant. We see how bad it is out there today. That's with the Holy Spirit to hold back. You see the shootings. You see all the stuff out there, the child molestation. You see all that stuff, and you ask, well, how? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse when the Holy Spirit steps aside. Whenever Jesus comes to take His church out of here, it's going to step aside. And all restraint is no longer, it will no longer inhibit the evil to the degree that it is now. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, this is something to remember when you were, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. What He's talking about is there's already evil in this world. Only he who now lutteth it will lut until he be taken out of the way. If you're there, mark heed your Bible. Who's taken out of the way? The Holy Spirit. Until he be taken out of the way, then it's going to get really bad. Listen, whenever he's taken away, the earth will be subject to the full effects of sin then. We're not under the full effects of it now. Now, isn't that scary? Because the Holy Spirit does restrain it. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is to restrain evil in the world. That's one of the ministries that it does. Satan will be given permission during that time to release demons that are presently bound in hell. I don't know what you feel about demons, what you feel about evil spirits. There are some that's running in the world today. But can I tell you, there are some that are reserved for that day. They are reserved right now. In Revelation 9:1-12, describe this. That is one last satanic uprising against God and against humankind. And these are the worst of the worst. They will be released. They're working today. And you can see it getting worse and worse. But praise, I pray to God that you're not here whenever the church is taken out of here. Because it will get worse and worse. And while the demons and sin is running amok in this world, God's judgment is being poured out upon it. There'll be false religions. We think there are false religions today? Oh yeah, there are false religions today. But they're going to become more prevalent as we get closer to the time. In 2 Timothy 3:5, this is something. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know what a form of godliness is? It means they're appearing to be Christians. They're appearing to be Christians, but they don't have the Holy Spirit within them right now. Then they will, and there's going to come a time when it's even going to be worse. They may talk like Christians. They may even know the Bible. How many of you in here know that the devil knows the Bible? How many of you know that? He knows the Bible better than, probably better than I do. And that's a shame, but he knows it. But what he does is he can manipulate it. He manipulates it. But anyway, he knows the Bible. But these people may even know the Bible. They may even talk like a Christian. They may smell like a Christian. They may do all the things, but they don't have the power of God within them. Paul is telling Timothy in the last days, more of this type of Christian and this religion is going to come into effect. The false prophet, during this tribulation, the false prophet, along with the Antichrist, will establish a global religion. That's what's going to happen. To the point within the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, if you don't worship their way, they're going to kill you. And this is what the Bible says. Revelation 13:5, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should not both speak and cause that as many as would not to worship the image of the beast should be killed. Should be killed. We talk a lot about the environment today. Some people do. They talk a lot about it. They blame this and they blame that on the environment, a lot of different things. Do you realize, you think the environment's getting bad now? My Bible tells me that a third of the trees and the grass will be destroyed during the Great Tribulation. A third of them. The oceans and the rivers, which you think now, some of them think now that they're becoming poison, but during that time, the oceans and the rivers becoming poison and killing the animals therein. A third of all fresh water on the earth, the Bible tells us in that day, is going away. I was up in Niagara Falls. It's probably been a few years ago. They say up there that 1/5 of all the world's fresh water goes over the Niagara Falls. The Bible says 1/3 of all fresh water you can't even drink it. Now let that sink in for a little bit. That's a lot. The sun will be darkened and causing damage beyond control. It'll be darkened. And this can be found in Revelation chapter 8, if you want to look over there at that. I'm not going to go into all of it right now. We can see what's going on today in the environment, and as bad as it is, brothers and sisters, those birth pains are getting started right now. The birth pains are getting started right now. Number 4, because they're getting worse, death will become more prevalent. Right now, I want you to understand this, they project. I couldn't believe these statistics either. I had to go out and double check them. That by 2050, 86% of the world's population will die from chronic disease. 2050. Do you know who the majority of those right now that are getting cancer in the world today? Are people under 65. And you know the majority of those that under 65, who that is? It's women. Absolutely. Let that say. We think it's bad now. This is coming a time when it will be worse. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And Revelation 9:18 tells us, when that happens, 1/3 of all mankind will die. 1/3. You know what that equals out to today? 2 billion people. 2 billion people during that time will die. Using the numbers today, you think about it. Now, I've given you stuff to be scared about, but listen to me what else is going to be happening. And it's happening today, and it's going to be happening right through till Jesus comes back to get his church. The gospel will be being preached. How do I know that? The Bible tells us. There'll be 144,000 Jews that are converted. They'll go out and preach the gospel to the world. There'll be 2 witnesses. The Bible tells us that who will be killed, and they will rise from the dead, and it'll be viewed throughout the world. They will preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, they'll preach it so good that there will be revival in Jerusalem. Then, the last thing that's going to happen, they said there's going to be an angel flying to and fro. Doing what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there will be multitudes converted during that time. Christ, during that time, there will be a great revival. And guess what? At that time, now, if we know this, because Revelation says that. Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And Revelation 7:14 says this, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, there will be great revival during the tribulation period. But can I tell you something? I hope and pray that you are saved and out of this world before that time comes. Because you don't realize how that's going to have to be for you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior during that time. Understand, Satan knows there'll be a great revival going on. And he will be the greatest persecution in the history of the world will be taking place during that time as well. Since Jesus' words when he left on the Mount of Ascension, whenever he went up into heaven, there have been 70 million, there have been estimated 70 million Christians have lost their lives since he went into heaven. Estimated. They just go back through history and just all that. During the time of tribulation, more and more people will be killed and died because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because they believed in Jesus. Revelations, I haven't even talked about this, but there's going to be a couple of things going on, and most of you know this. You'll not be able to buy or sell anything unless you take the mark of the beast, which is 666. And if you take the mark of the beast, there's no hope for you. Now, I want you to understand what that means. You will not be able to buy medicine. You'll not be able to buy food. You'll not be able to buy milk for your babies. You'll not be able to buy anything during that time without the mark of the beast on you. But if you take it, you'll be the devil's from there on out. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. Listen, you don't want to be living in that time. And you'll have to worship who they tell you to worship, or you'll be killed as well. So anybody there are going to be a multitude saved. They're going to come out. They're going to be martyred. There's going to be a lot of them martyred, because the Bible says that they will be martyred, because they'll not be able, they won't take the mark of the beast, and they'll die. Revelations 13:15-18, and he had power to give unto the image of the beast. That beast should speak and cause as many as he would to worship the image of the beast should be killed. I'm going to finish up here with a couple other things. In 2 Peter 3:3, it says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. A scoffer is someone who's proud and arrogant, unwilling to admit they're wrong. They're the ones who are saying, hey, you Christians, you have been talking about Jesus coming back forever. You're the ones that's been telling us that Jesus is coming back, and you better be ready. Well, where's he at? Peter addresses that. Because as we get closer to the last days, more and more that's going to happen. And more people are going to be saying, hey, Christians, where's this Jesus at? I'm telling you here this morning, Jesus is coming back. He's going, you know, one of these days, he said he's going to split the eastern sky. And those who are in the grave, they're going to rise. And those who are left alive, they're going to rise up to meet them in the air. And what's it say? Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what I said this morning, it may sound scary to you. I hope not. I hope if you're born again here this morning, I hope it does not sound scary to you. Because if you're saved this morning, you know. You know you've been washed in the blood. You know that if Jesus, the trumpet should sound right now, you know that Jesus is there. You know you're going home one day. But if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to put it to you bluntly. You're living in the last days. You're living in them. There's nothing left out there to happen before Jesus comes back to get his church. Not a thing. Nothing. He could come right now. He could come this very hour. But brothers and sisters, if you think it's bad now in this world that you live in, exactly right. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because it will get worse. It will. And it's not because this preacher's up here telling you that. It's because it says it. It said, read the word. So you could read it and understand it. Matthew 24:12. Get a song, Julie, if you don't care, please. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's a lack of empathy in this world today. Would you agree with me? Yeah, there's a lack of empathy. And there's a lot of indifference in this world today. We see that. I look around and I can see it. I've talked to people that they really don't care. They really don't care about, they don't care what happens. And the Bible warns us that. And the worst of all this will come in is that the closer we get to the second coming of the Lord, it's going to wax worse and worse. Brothers and sisters, I don't know. Praise God this morning. You're saved. Raise your hands and praise God this morning. But if you're not saved here this morning, I beg you with everything that's in me, don't go out of this church without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Don't. If you die without knowing Him today, you're not only bound for hell, but the Bible tells me in Revelation that death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and there shall you burn for eternity. It's not just, and people, I've heard people say this, you know, I've heard them say, man, I'm going to have a lot of friends. We're just having one big party. There ain't going to be no party. Nope. Absolutely not. If you have a need this morning, if you feel led to come to this altar this morning, I know it's a little different sermon. I know that. But God has put it upon my heart to preach it today. Norman Taylor, by the way, they mentioned his wife just passed away. First time I ever heard of Norman Taylor was up 14th Avenue. Many, many years. This is probably back in the late 70s, early 80s. First time I ever heard him preach. He stood up behind that pulpit up there that night, and he looks at his watch, and he said, Lord, here it is, whatever date it was. He said it's 7:10 in the evening or 7:20. He said, Lord, I need a message, and these people need to hear it. And brothers, sisters, he preached her. I'm just here to tell you, listen to me. There's a message. A person needed to hear that today. Someone needed to hear it. Maybe it was me, but someone needed to hear it. All right, Julie, what do you got?